This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, December 7th, 2016. Coming up this hour,
Boeing responds to President-elect Donald Trump's call to cancel plans for a new Air Force One.
Credit Suisse lowers profit targets and steps up cost cuts as revenue continues to elude the Swiss bank.
A new report could shed light on the British pound's so-called flash crash on October 7th.
President-elect Trump has introduced General James Mad Dog Mattis as his next defense secretary, plus a deadly earthquake in Indonesia. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Fourth straight win for the Knicks. They beat the Heat in Miami. They'll host the NBA champion Cavs tonight. Islanders beat the Rangers in a win for the Devils.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by J.P. Morgan Funds, building stronger portfolios by sharing expertise, insights, and a breadth of solutions across all asset classes. JPMorganFunds.com, let's solve it. J.P. Morgan Distribution Services, Incorporated.
And at 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning, they're a little change to higher. S&P E-mini futures up half a point, Dow E-mini futures up 19, and NASDAQ E-mini futures up 1.5. The DAX in Germany is up 1.5%. The FTSE 100 up 1.4% and the CAC in Paris up 0.9%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.7%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32. The yield 2.37%. Yield on the 2-year 1.11%. COMEX gold up 0.3% or $3.20 to 1173.30 an ounce. The euro $1.0716. The yen 114.08.
Boeing has responded to President-elect Donald Trump's comments on the cost of a new Air Force One. Boeing executives told Trump's transition team that costs could be lowered if the government agrees to reduce its requirements for the plane. George Ferguson is senior aerospace defense and airline analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence.
The cost is a function of all the stuff that's going inside, communications gear, countermeasures, supplied by Raytheon, Lockheed. There's a whole defense establishment putting stuff inside this airplane.
It was in a tweet yesterday that Mr. Trump claimed the cost for a new version of Air Force One was $4 billion, a figure that has prompted skepticism from some analysts. In any event, Bloomberg Intelligence senior aerospace defense and airline analyst George Ferguson says a contract like this is relatively small for Boeing.
In any single year, Boeing is a $90 billion company. They make $60 billion from commercial airplanes. $2 billion really isn't much of their revenue. They're all about the commercial business.
But Boeing's planes have been used to transport presidents since 1943.
Mark Mobius, executive chairman of Templeton Emerging Markets Group, is also commenting on the president-elect. Speaking to us at the Bloomberg Markets Most Influential Summit in Abu Dhabi, Mobius says Trump's policies will eventually lead to a weaker dollar.
I think the heavy spending that he's going to embark on, and spending not only in infrastructure but also defense, will result in people starting to think that maybe this dollar shouldn't be as strong as it is now. And we're going to probably see a weaker dollar. Also, you must remember that Trump's objective is to help American industry. What does that mean? It means they have to export. In order to export, you need a competitive dollar.
Templeton Emerging Markets Group Executive Chairman Mark Mobius went on to say he expects Trump to replace the Trans-Pacific Partnership with individual trade deals. Mobius also believes oil will climb to $60 a barrel next year.
And on that subject, we also heard from the United Arab Emirates energy minister at that Bloomberg Markets Most Influential Summit in Abu Dhabi. He spoke to us about last week's OPEC deal to cut output and expressed concern about some non-OPEC countries not participating in the arrangement.
We need as many countries as possible. This is not just an OPEC worry or a concern. I think this is a concern by all of the producers, the benefit to all of the producers. So what we need is to see more countries participating.
And the energy minister for the United Arab Emirates went on to say he believes the oil market will recover if OPEC producers stick to their agreement to cut 1.8 million barrels per day. Checking oil right now, West Texas Intermediate is now up a tenth of 1% to $51 even a barrel. Brent crude higher by 0.2% to $54.02.
Trading day underway in Europe. Let's get a roundup of some of the top stories from Bloomberg's Neera Chahich live in our London bureau. Good morning, Neera.
Good morning, Bob, Karen. So one of the big stories that's broken in the past hour is that JP Morgan, HSBC and Crédit Agricole have been fined $521 million or 485.5 million euros for rigging the Euribor benchmark as European Union antitrust regulators wrapped up a five-year investigation into the scandal. Now, just looking at the European banks, HSBC got a 33.6 million euro penalty and Crédit Agricole has to pay 114.7 million euros. Both those stocks still gaining, though. And in fact, banks are some of the best performers on the Stock 600 today, and Credit Suisse among them. So Credit Suisse up some 7.8% at the moment, hitting its highest level since April after CEO Tidjane Thiam pledged to cut an additional 1 billion Swiss francs or $1 billion in expenses and also lowered profit targets that were seen as too ambitious. So Stock 600 leading the gains, and overall we are seeing European stocks head higher for a third day. We did also get some eco data earlier. German industrial production rising less than analysts forecast in October. It gained 0.3% versus an estimated 0.8% increase. It is a volatile number, but still it came in less than expected. And then UK manufacturing output unexpectedly fell the most in 8 months in October as pharmaceuticals slumped. Neera Chahich, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
Thank you, Neera. A new report from the Financial Times may shed light on the October 7th sudden 6% plunge in the pound. The paper says the UK investigation into Sterling's so-called flash crash is focusing on Citigroup's Japanese unit. While Citigroup traders reportedly aren't believed to have started the pound's plunge, the FT says its Tokyo trading desk played a key role in exacerbating the event. When Sterling plunged as much as 6.1% on October 7th, traders initially speculated it was caused by human error and algorithmic trading. According to data compiled by Bloomberg, the level reached by the pound that day was the lowest since March of 1985. S&P E-mini futures up a single point. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street. Is he chief executive of the country or a businessman? A new poll on how Americans feel about Donald Trump. And Bloomberg's Michael Barr has it. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. A new poll shows that the majority of Americans say that President-elect Donald Trump should be able to keep his businesses. However, two-thirds of U.S. adults think that Trump needs to choose between being president or a businessman. Meanwhile, another Bloomberg poll shows that half of the U.S. adults see Trump favorably. According to the poll, 43% disapprove of him. That's a big turnaround from August, when nearly two-thirds say they disapproved of him. President-elect Trump introduced his nominee for defense secretary at a thank-you rally last night in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Trump says Marine General James Mattis is one of the most effective generals that we've had in many, many decades.
Jim is a Marine Corps four-star general, the former commander of U.S. Central Command and NATO's Supreme Allied Commander.
Trump also said from now on, it's going to be America first. In short, we seek peace through strength. President-elect Trump has offered the post of U.S. Ambassador to China to Iowa Governor Terry Branstad, a longtime friend of Chinese President Xi Jinping. That's according to three people close to the matter. In China, the Communist Party's flagship newspaper is urging Chinese leaders to keep their cool when it comes to President-elect Trump. Bloomberg Daybreak anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
A commentary in the People's Daily urges China's leaders to play the adult if Trump continues to stir things up. Call it strategic composure. The commentary says China should stay calm in the face of what it calls waves of criticism after Trump's call with Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen. It said some Chinese would think retaliation, that otherwise people might think China is a soft persimmon, easy to pinch. But it says no. China doesn't throw tantrums for temporary gratification. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Indonesia's National Disaster Agency says the death toll could rise following today's 6.5 magnitude earthquake in Aceh Province. At least 97 people were killed. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Michael, much appreciated. Now 6:09 on Wall Street. And with your Bloomberg NBC Sports updates, good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. Just 2 years ago, the Knicks only won 17 games all season. They're already up to 12. They won their fourth in a row, ninth in the last 12. They're now tied for third in the Eastern Conference. 114-103 at Miami, a 61-point second half. Six Knicks in double figures led by Carmelo Anthony's 35 points.
Maturity, we find a ways to win basketball games. We come together as a team. We're figuring out who we are as a team, our identity. And I think we're a much different team than we were early in the season.
Carmelo moved into 10th place on the all-time Knicks scoring list. The win streaks come against teams under 500. Tonight at the Garden, it's the Knicks against LeBron James and the NBA champion Cavs. Knicks may not have Derrick Rose tonight. He left last night's game with back spasms. First Ranger-Islander game since the first game of the season. Isles never trailed. They won 4-2 at Brooklyn. Yaroslav Halak, number one star with 36 saves. Rangers went 0-6 on the power play, including a failed four-minute advantage. And Newark Devils beat Vancouver 3-2. College hoops with the Pearl Harbor Invitational. Seton Hall beat Hawaii 68-57. Yankees general manager Brian Cashman says the Red Sox are now baseball's version of the Warriors of the NBA. The rich getting richer already with David Price and Cy Young winner Rick Porcello in the rotation. Boston swung a trade with the White Sox to land Chris Sale. The world champion Cubs are close to acquiring Wade Davis from Kansas City to be their new closer, cementing that they won't bring back free agent Aroldis Chapman. Yankees are saying Chapman's asking price of a six-year deal is too steep for them as well. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thank you, John. For the first time ever, a woman has won the J.G. Taylor Spink Award for baseball writing. Claire Smith will receive the award during the Hall of Fame's induction weekend next July. Smith is currently ESPN's news editor of remote productions and has served as a writer for the Hartford Courant, the New York Times, and the Philadelphia Inquirer. Home run, Claire. Just crossing the Bloomberg, the Polish Central Bank keeps its key interest rates at 1.50%. S&P E-mini futures up a single point right now, less than a tenth of 1%. Dow E-minis up by 23 points. NASDAQ E-minis higher by 2 points. 10-year Treasury prices up 4/32. The yield 2.3744. And Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Willoughby since 1898. New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner 5th Avenue and 31st Street.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by CGMA, the Chartered Global Management Accountant designation, bringing strategic insight to your finance team and providing the skills you need to turn risk into opportunity. Learn more at cgma.org/radio. 617 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines from Chris Kirkham at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Karen. J.P. Morgan, HSBC and Crédit Agricole have been fined a total of $521 million for rigging the Euribor benchmark. The news comes as EU antitrust regulators wrapped up a five-year investigation into the scandal. Shares of Credit Suisse hit a seven-month high today as the bank targets another $1 billion of cost cuts. The lender also lowered 2018 profit targets for its wealth management and Asian businesses. The so-called flash crash probe into the pound's sudden plunge on October the 7th is focusing on Citigroup's Japanese unit. That's according to the Financial Times, which says that while Citi traders aren't believed to have started the rout, its Tokyo desk played a key role in exacerbating it. And in sports news, the New York Yankees will retire Derek Jeter's number 2 jersey on May the 14th. The former shortstop and captain will also be honored with a plaque in Yankee Stadium's Monument Park. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Chris Kirkham, thank you. And futures, their little change to higher. S&P E-mini futures up 1.5 points. Dow E-mini futures up 23. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 3. The DAX in Germany's up 1.5%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32. Yield 2.37%. NYMEX crude oil up about 0.2% or 8 cents to $51.01 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.25% or $3.20 to $11.73.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.0720. The yen, 114.12. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the army chief in Indonesia's Aceh province says the death toll in today's earthquake has jumped to 97. As rescuers pull more bodies from the rubble, four people were pulled from the debris alive. The strength of the quake was registered at a magnitude 6.5. A new poll shows half of the U.S. adults see President-elect Donald Trump favorably. According to a Bloomberg poll, 43% disapprove of him. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks beat the Heat 114-103. The Wizards lost. In the NHL, the Islanders skated past the Rangers 4-2. The Devils were winners. And finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, would you set up a blind date on a flight in midair? Because if I want a blind date, I want to make sure that they don't escape. There's a new free dating app called Air Dates. Bob, according to the New York Post, the app is designed to have travelers post their itineraries before taking off so they can meet with potential dates in flight.
And you just hope you don't hit turbulence, huh?
So the guy in 2C is wondering, to be or not to be?
I think I would just send a message to the prospective date saying, you don't need an airplane to get to Cloud 9.
That's sweet. I'm Michael Byrne. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Brief. News, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts.
And good morning. It is time for our consultation with Christopher Sell, who writes the Bloomberg Brief Oil Buyer's Guide. Chris, we are still on the skeptical track for the OPEC deal. We've got the United Arab Emirates energy minister saying this is all going to work out just fine if we can just have the non-OPEC members participate.
I'm a consultant now. This is a great Yeah. I mean, look, oil prices, let's be honest, have, you know, they've done very well since the agreement was announced last week. They've risen almost 20%. So I think a little bit of a breather on the oil price is understandable while people take stock of, you know, the fundamentals. And as you just intimated, the sort of question marks surrounding the non-OPEC side of the deal. So, you know, what are we seeing at the moment? You know, on Saturday, OPEC is going to meet up with non-OPEC members, such as, well, Russia's going to be there, and Mexico and Kazakhstan. I think Brazil have declined, but, you know, that's not a major deal. But
And what's potentially in it for these non-OPEC members?
Well, they obviously are going to be asked very politely to, would you mind please finding 300,000 barrels a day to cut? So, you know, Russia's going to cut 300,000, and they're looking to these other members to cut 300,000. That will then... That's the six added onto the 1.2 OPEC has said they'll cut, and that brings to the 1.8, which they need, they say, to balance the market next year. So everyone's happy, obviously. Whether that happens or not is another matter. Just this week, you know, the Bloomberg released its monthly OPEC data, and surprise, surprise, OPEC production has gone up by another 200,000 barrels a day to a record 34.16 million barrels. So, you know, if you're a non-OPEC member and you're meeting with the OPEC guys in Vienna on Saturday, and they're saying, listen, guys, we need you to cut, just as they've just risen again, you know, it's going to be a challenging talks. And actually, it will be interesting to see what happens. Whether
OPEC
makes a difference, I don't know.
Haven't you told me that the U.S. and Canadian producers just move right in now?
I probably have said that. I mean, I've said a lot of things. That's the other side of this week. You know, the EIA actually came out with its short-term energy forecast yesterday, and they've actually raised their U.S. domestic output for 2017 to 8.78 from 8.73. So their implication is that the U.S. is going to keep pumping. Even the 2016 forecast was risen on the back of the OPEC deal, I think. And don't forget, rigs are at the highest level since January. They're going to keep adding rigs, especially in the Permian, where there's plenty of oil and cheaply. And so the US is going to keep pumping, and Canada as well. So it's a very convoluted picture, isn't it, really? I mean, it remains to be seen. You know, it's done its job, which is what they wanted. It's pushed prices up to 18-20% since the deal. The fact remains they've got to now sort of ensure this deal sticks. And UAE, you know, as you said, the UAE oil minister, and as well as his Nigerian counterpart, have come out and reiterated OPEC's willingness to ensure this happens. And they've just got to meet with their non-OPEC players on Saturday and trying to make sure they get the cut out of that. If that doesn't happen, then, you know, as you said, the UAE energy minister will make sure that somehow they will take further action to ensure the prices stabilize.
Okay, holding us together is the challenge here. Chris Sell from Bloomberg Briefs. You can read Chris's analysis and other news, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts in the Bloomberg Brief digital newsletter. Sign up now at BloombergBriefs.com, or for terminal customers, use the function Brief Go. West Texas Intermediate crude is up 0.2% to $51.04 a barrel. And stay with us right here on Bloomberg Daybreak. We will have your Bloomberg DC segment coming up in our next segment.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And at 6:30 on Wall Street, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We had breaking news this morning with J.P. Morgan, HSBC, and Crédit Agricole been fined a total of $521 million for rigging the Euribor benchmark. The news comes as European Union antitrust regulators wrapped up a five-year investigation into the scandal.
Credit Suisse is stepping up cost-cutting efforts after lowering profit targets. The Swiss bank is pledging to reduce costs by another $1 billion amid a slump in asset management and investment banking. Shares of Credit Suisse are up 7.2% in Zurich.
Iran is about to sign its first European oil deal since sanctions were eased earlier this year. An Iranian oil official says Royal Dutch Shell and Francis Total will agree to develop oil and gas fields in the country. Checking oil now, West Texas Intermediate is up 0.25%, about 12 cents to $51.05 a barrel. Brent is up 0.2% or 11 cents to $54.04.
Stocks in Asia gained in trading today, with the financial sector leading the gains. Bloomberg's Juliet Salleh reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
The regional index posted gains for a second consecutive session, while Japan's TOPIX rose 0.9% as the yen weakened past 114 to the dollar during Asian trade. Australia's market also posted gains of close to 1%, despite disappointing data showing the country's economy contracted by 0.5% in the third quarter. Elsewhere, HSBC shares rallied in Hong Kong to a 16-month high, pushing the Hang Seng to a one-week high, and the Shanghai Composite gained 0.7%, despite starting the session in the red. Juliet Salleh, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Juliet. Goldman Sachs, former top man in China, says investors in the world's second largest economy are hitting the pause button on U.S. deals. Fred Hu, whose investment firm Primavera Capital owns stakes in Alibaba and Yum China, says investors are taking a wait-and-see approach on M&A activity until President-elect Trump clarifies his policies.
And the Volatility Index Report is brought to you by CBOE, VIX Options and Futures. Volatility can be harnessed with CBOE, VIX Options and Futures. See disclosures and learn more at cboe.com/powerfuloutcomesVIX. The VIX was down 2.9% yesterday to close at 11.79. This morning, in today's extended morning trading, VIX futures are lower by 2.3% to 11.52. That's this morning's Volatility Report.
And futures, they're little change to higher. The DAX in Germany is higher, up 1.5% this morning. And the 10-year Treasury is up 4/32, the yield 2.37%. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by A Bronx Tale, the new musical. AM New York hails it as a combination of Jersey Boys and West Side Story. A Bronx Tale, Broadway's next big hit. Get your tickets at telecharge.com. We've got a poll on Donald Trump you'll be interested in. Here is Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Bob. Two-thirds of U.S. adults believe Donald Trump needs to choose between being president or a businessman. That's according to a new Bloomberg poll. It also shows that 69% believe it's going too far to force Trump and his family to sell their business empire to avoid conflicts of interest. Meanwhile, another Bloomberg poll shows that half of the U.S. adults surveyed say they see President-elect Trump favorably. President-elect Trump introduced his choice to be the next defense secretary yesterday, decorated Marine General James Mattis. Trump, during a thank you tour stop in Fayetteville, North Carolina, called Mattis a popular choice. Mattis thanked the president-elect.
I'm grateful for the opportunity to return to our troops, their families, the civilians of the Department of Defense, because I know how committed they are and devoted they are to the defense of our country, the defense of our Constitution.
Trump also used last night's rally near Fort Bragg to pledge to rebuild the U.S. military and renew the fight against terrorism. Vice President Joe Biden refused to definitively rule out a 2020 bid for the White House. Biden made an appearance last night on CBS's The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Never say never. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, hell, Donald Trump's going to be 74. I'll be 77 in better shape. I mean, I'm out there.
Several thousand rescuers are being sent to Indonesia's Aceh province. A magnitude 6.5 earthquake struck there early today. Disaster officials put the death toll at 97. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now, 6:35 on Wall Street, and with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. Should be lively at the Garden tonight. Knicks going for a fifth straight win, a true test to see just how much they've improved. Into town comes LeBron James and the NBA champion Cavs. Knicks won last night in Miami, 114-103, 35 points for Carmelo Anthony. He liked the Knicks, 18 offensive rebounds.
When the shot not falling, you got to find other ways to get it done, and we did that. We attacked the offensive glass tonight. Our bigs did a phenomenal inside, keeping the ball alive on the offensive end on the rim. A lot of credit goes to our bigs, so, you know, battling Whiteside in there and just, you know, taking care of the paint tonight.
12 offensive boards from the centers, Joakim Noah and Kyle O'Quinn. In Brooklyn, the Islanders with two goals in the first period went on to beat the Rangers 4-2. Blue Shirts still without back-to-back victory since mid-November. They do remain tied for first with Pittsburgh. In Newark, Devils got second period goals from Kyle Palmieri and the first of the year for Ben Lovejoy. They beat Vancouver 3-2. Local college hoops, Seton Hall won at Hawaii. Manhattan lost double overtime to Morgan State. Rutgers now 8-1, a route of Central Connecticut. Monmouth beat Wagner. LIU fell at North Carolina Central. Ace pitcher Chris Sale, who got suspended last summer for cutting up the White Sox throwback uniforms they're about to wear, got traded by the White Sox to the Red Sox, where the GM is Dave Dombrowski.
For us, it just came down to, we thought at this point that this gave us a significant chance to win. And you mean, you can never can tell what happens if you can, first of all, make it to the postseason. But secondly, if you get there, do you progress from there? We saw last year we did not. But we think it gives us the best chance to do it, and it's not just for a one-year type of deal.
Sale joining the Boston rotation that already had David Price and Cy Young winner Rick Porcello. Yankees announced they will have a Derek Jeter day in 2017 and retire number two. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thank you, John. President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet picks could be on the fast track. Nancy Lyons has that story from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
A top aide to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the Senate could confirm seven or more of Donald Trump's nominees right after his swearing in.
What his office is saying is that we did this for Obama on day one, on inaugural day, and we should be allowed to do the same for Trump.
But Bloomberg BNA's Nancy Ognanovich says Democrats are not totally on board and have some concerns about the nominee's qualifications.
We're seeing some people like Carson be nominated. He has no prior experience with the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Then we see the education nominee having only attended private schools.
Ognanovich says Elaine Chao for transportation and Jeff Sessions as attorney general likely have the easiest paths to confirmation with their past government service. Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. And it's now 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
Donald Trump wants a person who doesn't believe in climate change to run a federal agency that plays a big part in U.S. climate policy. It's not the EPA or the Department of Energy. It's the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Trump's choice for HUD is former presidential hopeful Ben Carson, who says there's no good evidence that global temperatures are rising, a view that just 14% of Americans share. While much of the climate debate has been about how to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, a separate effort, led by HUD, is underway to protect Americans from the hurricanes, floods, and other extreme weather events that are consequences of those emissions. HUD provides grants to cities and states to reduce storm damage, and the agency is directly responsible responsible for the country's 1.1 million public housing units, an increasing number of which are being lost to extreme weather. This is something the next HUD secretary will urgently need to address. The appointment of a climate change denier would make the challenge harder. Democrats in Congress should use Carson's confirmation hearings to air his views on climate science and make sure he appreciates the importance of HUD's policies. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com and View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. And now it's time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. If a tree falls in the forest, yes, even if there's no one there to hear it, it does send shockwaves across the environmental landscape, taking with it a share of the biodiversity the planet depends on. And there are a lot more falling trees these days. In a towering forest of centuries-old eastern hemlocks, for example, it's easy to miss one of the tree's nemesis. No larger than a speck of pepper, the hemlock woolly adelgid spends its life on the underside of needles, sucking sap, eventually killing the tree. The bug is one in an expanding army of insects draining the life out of forests from New England to the West Coast. Their spread has been aided by global trade, but add to that the warming climate and drought-weakened trees. That's turned the invaders into one of the greatest threats to biodiversity in the U.S. Scientists say the pests are already driving some tree species toward extinction and causing billions of dollars a year in damage, and the situation is likely to worsen. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P E-mini futures up less than a single point right now. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Bloomberg View is brought to you by Benzel Busch. The Mercedes-Benz winter event is now for the best values of the year. Hurry, offers end soon. Benzel Busch is America's premier automotive dealership in Englewood, New Jersey.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Futures this morning, they are little change. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. Like you said, U.S. futures are quiet today, with Dow futures currently higher by 16 points. S&P's gained 1, and Nasdaq futures climbed by 2. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.37%. Asia markets were higher overnight, while main European markets are also climbing this morning. Germany rises 1.5%. Back in the U.S., on the economic front, at 10:30, energy inventory numbers, and at 3 p.m., consumer credit. After the bell last night, MasterCard increased its dividend and is buying back $4 billion in stock, and Western Digital boosted its Q2 forecast. In other news, this morning, Trion increased its stake in Wendy's to 23.6%. And finally, some of the key Wall Street upgrades and downgrades. Louisiana Pacific cut to underperform at Bank of America. Over at Credit Suisse, Kellogg cut to neutral. Juniper raised to outperform. And NetApp cut to underperform. MGM Growth Properties cut to hold at Deutsche Bank. Marathon Petroleum and AutoZone both raised to avoid at JP Morgan. And 3M raised the sector to perform over at RBC. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk Go on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K Go. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a strong earthquake has rocked Indonesia's Aceh province. The quake killed nearly 100 people and sparked a frantic rescue effort in the rubble of dozens of collapsed and damaged buildings. Two-thirds of U.S. adults believe Donald Trump needs to choose between being president or a businessman. That's according to a new Bloomberg poll. Meanwhile, another Bloomberg poll shows that half of the U.S. adults surveyed say they see Trump favorably. In sports, in the NBA, the Knicks beat the Heat 114-103. The Wizards lost. In the NHL, the Islanders skated past the Rangers 4-2. The Devils were winners. And finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, a Goldman Sachs person from Jack Ryan, he's got a great idea. He's come up with a way to show off multi-million-dollar homes to potential buyers. Ryan founded the online brokerage Rex. Bob, it maps the inside of the mansions and creates an interactive video for clients all over the world to browse the home.
In my modest little apartment, I can take you on a tour over the single click of my smartphone. cameras. Just saying.
Hey, I you know what? See, now, I bet you have a nice apartment. Never invite me. But anyway, Ryan is hoping to sell a $57.5 million Malibu mansion by the virtual tour way.
We'll work on that.
Okay, thank you. Global News, 24 hours a day. Powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Mike LaBarre. I'm going to Bob's. This is Bloomberg.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Megan McArdle, a columnist for Bloomberg View. Here's a suggestion for improving the sad state of our political discourse. Study David Hume's distinction between is and ought, a concept that a whole lot of people on both sides seem to be struggling with right now. The 18th century Scotsman was complaining that philosophical treatises often went along discussing things that are, and then suddenly jumped to discussing how things ought to be, without seeming to notice that these are quite different categories of argument. His work's been widely available for two centuries, and yet, if you tell political warriors on either side that their tactics are counterproductive and likely to trigger a backlash, most of the time what you get is a restatement of the grievance instead of a discussion about the tactics needed to rectify it. Both sides spend far too much time arguing about what's justified by the unfairness they're fighting, rather than what's politically effective, as if a claim of injustice were a blank check that the universe was obligated to cash. The result is two sides frantically waving checks and nowhere left to cash them. Our politics might improve if they stopped focusing on what ought to be and spent more time doing the hard and boring work of changing what actually is. I'm Megan McArdle, a columnist for Bloomberg View. For more View, go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker.
An index of economic conditions strengthened in November, according to the Thumbtack Small Business Sentiment Index. Thumbtack is a marketplace for service professionals and clients. The economic sentiment index rose to 63.5 in November from 61.3 a month earlier. That index is formulated from a survey of more than 15,000 service professionals in the Thumbtack network. Among the survey questions, how would you rate your company's financial situation today? And how do you think your company's financial situation will be 3 months from now? Both of those components rose from the month earlier period. Most economic sentiment indexes only surveyed national-level sentiment. Thumbtack's survey fits a different niche. Its sample size, there are more than 10,000 responses in each of the most recent survey periods, focusing on sole proprietorships, the ultra-low end of the small business sector. That's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
Thank you, John Tucker. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include Vice President Joe Biden presiding over the Senate for a tribute to his time as a member of the body. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi and Senators Chuck Schumer and Bernie Sanders holding a news conference on Medicare. And President-elect Donald Trump holding a breakfast fundraiser this morning in New York. Also making news, the continuing discussion over potential conflicts of interest Mr. Trump could face when it comes to the presidency and his business. It's a topic that senior advisor Kellyanne Conway addressed last week outside Trump Tower.
Very confident he's not breaking any laws. He has many lawyers, accountants, and advisors who tell him what he must do and what he can't do.
Now, a new Bloomberg Politics poll released this morning shows that the majority of Americans agree with Ms. Conway saying Mr. Trump shouldn't have to sell his business empire to avoid conflicts of interest. Here with more on the results of this poll is Bloomberg Politics reporter John McCormick. John, good morning. This is something of a mixed bag for Mr. Trump because most people also say he needs to choose between chief executive of the country or his business, one or the other. Help me understand that distinction.
Yeah, no, clearly people don't want a president who's distracted by his own personal business interests. So we asked lots of questions, you know, about these potential conflicts of interest as well as sort of the state of his, preparation to go into the White House and kind of how people are viewing the transition process here. And what we found was two-thirds of U.S. adults do think that he needs to choose between being either a president or a businessman. Then we asked, you know, should he be forced to sell all of his assets, or is it okay for him to keep them? And 69% said they think forcing him to sell his businesses would go too far. That is one thing that ethics experts have suggested is really the only way for him to, you know, purely break away from having any potential conflicts of interest. So he's going to talk to the nation about this topic on the 15th. He's called a news conference, and we'll hear more about his plans then.
Now, do these answers extend to his family? Because there's been discussion that he should turn the business over to either a blind trust or his family. How would that work?
Yeah, I mean, we asked the question in a way that it would sort of cover the family as well. I mean, it's hard to envision a scenario where, you know, he would turn it over to the family and still not feel like, you know, he knows what all the assets are, so he knows they have certain properties in certain countries. It would be hard for him to make, you know, decisions that would be absolutely pure, even if he knew that his children still were holding on to those assets.
We're also seeing him pick up some confidence from the American people.
Yeah, no, people, his popularity is up. We always ask questions, do you view this person favorably or unfavorably? We did that for a whole bunch of folks. And for him, his favorability is up to 50%. Half of Americans are viewing him in a positive way. That's up from 33% in August. So that's a pretty big jump. But for context, President Barack Obama was at 78% favorability in January of 2009 in a Gallup poll. So Trump has a long way to go to reach the level of Obama's popularity when he was heading into the White House for the first time.
They seem to view him as less combative, perhaps?
Well, they want to see a President Trump who's less combative than he was on the campaign trail. We asked, you know, do you want him to be, you know, as aggressive, as combative as he was on the campaign trail, and 79% said that they want to see him sort of tone down the vitriol that he displayed while campaigning. That includes his own supporters. 65% of people who voted for Trump say they want to see him be less confrontational.
Bloomberg Politics reporter John McCormick, thank you very much. And you can read more about this story on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Coming up, it's Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and David Gura. And David is with me now to tell us what's ahead.
Bob, really looking forward to our first conversation this morning on economics and foreign policy. Michael Spence, winner of the Nobel Prize, professor at the NYU Stern School, and Richard Haass will join us, head of the Council on Foreign Relations. They will both be here in just a few minutes. And then NABE is out with a new business survey on the economy, looking ahead to 2017. And the economist behind that survey will be here to talk about expectations for employment and growth. Lindsay Piegza from Stifel will join us ahead of tomorrow's ECB meeting and next week's Federal Reserve meeting, of course, and then the AT&T Time Warner deal undergoing its first public scrutiny in Washington on Capitol Hill today. Senator Mike Lee chairs the subcommittee that will be holding a hearing on that deal. He'll be grilling the company's executives, and Senator Lee will join us here on Bloomberg Surveillance.
David Gura and Tom Keene with Bloomberg Surveillance coming up at the top of the hour. Karen, the markets, if you please.
Yeah, and futures this morning, Bob, they are a little changed to higher. We're seeing stocks rise in Europe with the DAX in Germany up 1.5%, the FTSE 100 up 1.6%, and the CAC in Paris up 0.9%. 10-year Treasuries up 6/32nds, yield 2.36%, and NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% this morning. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow. This is Daybreak, and Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.